Open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. The name of the message is Loved Unto the End. We'll read the first 20 verses. Loved Unto the End. Our text will be found in verse 1, but I'd like to read the whole context of the verse. John chapter 13, starting in verse 1 and reading to verse 20. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simeon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God. He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherein he was girded. Now note here the condescension of Christ. Here is the Son of God, God incarnate in the flesh, and he's kneeling down to wash the feet of his disciples. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Peter thought he was being all, he shouldn't even question the Lord here. He shouldn't even question the Lord. And this is almost how we are when we become super spiritual and we're trying to impress people. No, don't do that. Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Oh, this picture is being washed in the precious blood of Christ, beloved. Simon Peter saith unto the Lord, Not my feet only, but also my hands and head. Oh my. He's been humbled right there. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken their garments and was set down, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Tonight I would like us to consider the latter part of verse 1. The latter part of verse 1. I'll read the verse again. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Here are some profound words here before us. Some profound words proclaimed about the love which Christ has for his bride. Look at this. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. This was the fourth Passover that our Lord kept after he entered his public ministry, and it would be his last. It would be his last. For Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And every Passover lamb that had been slain had been a type of Christ, pointing to him. He who is the Lamb of God. There's no more need for pictures and types and shadows. no more need in patterns because they were just shadows. And He is the substance. And He is the substance. And Christ knew, here it says, His hour. His hour. He knew. And He referred to this often, so frequently, that this is mentioned a lot, His hour. And this is why He came into this world. This is why He came into this world, to redeem His people through His perfect life and death. And He would soon accomplish that death. And He would return to the Father. And He would be seated as a victorious mediator on God's right hand. And I'd like us to consider these words again. Having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And I'd like us to consider what they mean in relation first to the apostles that they were spoken to, and then in relation to the church universal, to God's elect through all the ages. Having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Having loved His own, being His sheep, His elect, and He's loved them with an everlasting, unchangeable love. He's loved them continually. There's never been a time when He's not loved us. He loved us forever. He loved us even in His death. And He loves us now in His resurrection. And again, there's never been a time when He hasn't loved us, beloved. Hebrews chapter 1, turn there if you would. We'll read the first three verses. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Scripture declares this. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us, that's being God's people, by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, of God's glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, and remember, His hour, when He had by Himself purged our sins. When did He do that? In His hour. In His hour. Purged our sins. What did He do afterwards? Sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, where He's our mediator. Where He's our mediator. So again, let us never forget that Christ's love to His own sheep is an everlasting love. Or as the words express, to the end, which end means eternity. And this love is an unchangeable love, beloved. It's an unchangeable love. Just like Christ Himself. What does the Scripture say about our Lord? That He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? That's what Scriptures declare. Therefore, His love is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what that means? That means His love is not based upon our actions. Isn't that wonderful? Because we're so fickle, aren't we? I am. My goodness. We're such sinners. But His love for us is unchanging. And we'll see that through the things that the apostles did. His love was never changed. He loved them, and He still loves them. It's unchanging. And it's wonderful, beloved. It's absolutely wonderful. So contemplating this wonderful truth leaves the blood-washed, born-again believer in wonder and awe that this love is not based upon me at all. It's totally based upon Christ. It's not based upon what I do. It's based upon Christ. And it'll leave you thankful that it's not based upon anything we do. Wouldn't it be awful if God's love was changing dependent upon our sinfulness? Yes, oh my gosh. We'd be in a heap of trouble, beloved. But it's not based upon anything we do. It is an unchanging love, just like Christ is unchanging. Now, people say, well, I fell out of love with that person. Christ never says that to His elect. He never says that to His sheep. He will never fall out of love with us, ever. And if you've ever had someone tell you that they fell out of love with you, it's like someone putting a stake through your heart. Christ will never say that, ever. Ever. And it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. His covenant will never, covenant of peace will never be moved, never be removed. Just like his love, it'll never be removed from God's people. The heavens may pass away, and the church of God shall remain unbroken, unshaken, beloved, because they are loved in Christ by God from eternity, and they are kept and protected by He who is God Almighty. And it is God Almighty who has loved His own and will ever love them. This is wonderful news. This love never changes. Never changes. He loved His people from the beginning, from eternity. He loves them now, and He'll love them forever in eternity. All because this love is unchanging. Unchanging. And let us never forget that the greatest manifestation of the love of God towards His people occurred on Calvary's cross. When the Son of God, the Word incarnate, died as the substitute of those He speaks to as here, His own. His own. That's who He died for, beloved. His own. Are you that number? It's wonderful. It's wonderful if you are. And if you are, it's by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God. They are His by the Father giving them to Him. They are His by creation. And praise God, they're His by purchase, beloved. And it's His blood which has purchased and redeemed us. So let us consider these words, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Let's consider these words first in relation to the apostles. He loved them when He saw them in their lost estate. Because of His love for them, He called them out of that estate. And that's true for every one of God's sheep, isn't it? But here, He called these apostles to be His disciples. And He loved them, and He loves them still with a tender love. But think of this, when He was on earth, He trained them and taught them that they might be good soldiers of His cross. He loved them with an everlasting love. He walked and talked with them while He was here upon this earth. And even when He rebuked His apostles, His love for them never changed. Even when He rebuked Peter here, His love for him never changed. Never changed. Ever. He loved His own when He was alone with them or when He was with them in a crowd. He loved them. In life, and He loved them in death, and He still loves them in eternity. His love has never changed for His people. And He is faithful to love them. And think of our Savior's faithfulness in His love to them. This love and faithfulness of Christ is remarkable. They prove themselves by man's standards to sometimes be poor companions. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Now the apostles often argued amongst themselves who was the greatest. We know that. We know they did that. And one time, one of the mothers of two of the apostles came to Jesus and asked if they could sit the one on the right hand and the other on the left in the kingdom. Now James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, apparently persuaded their mother to ask the Lord Jesus to give them these places of highest honor and glory in His kingdom. And historians tell us that this woman was sister to Joseph, Mary's husband. And we know that she and her sons were true disciples. They were genuine believers. They loved the Lord. They followed Christ. And we see here, though, beloved, that they behaved very foolishly, just like every believer can. And James and John, as well as their mother, were truly spiritual people, but they behaved in a very carnal way here. They were unbelievably presumptuous, and they were confidently asserting that they were able to drink the cup and be baptized with the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, which He was about to endure, when they should have been overwhelmed with wonder and humbled at what He was going to accomplish. And they were more concerned about themselves, beloved, than about Christ and their brethren. Yet these sons of Zebedee, James and John, were in time to become pillars of the church. They became pillars of the church and the kingdom of the Lord. And they were loved by Christ. Remember this. Even when they do this, they're loved by Christ with an unchanging, everlasting love. Look at Matthew 20, verses. We'll read verses 20 to 24. And we'll see, he was thinking of the baptism of suffering, which he was about to be baptized with, but they were disputing which should be the greatest. Matthew 20, verses 20 to 24. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. But, we just shake our heads, don't we? But we're the same way. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? No, none of us could. And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. Boy, they're being pretty presumptuous, aren't they? And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And look how the other ten acted. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Oh my. Oh my. They're all mad at each other, beloved. And through all the things that happened, the worldliness of the apostles and them saying and doing foolish things, the Lord's love for them never changed. Even through all these situations we read of, the Lord's love for them never changed. Never changed, beloved. And think also of our Lord's love and faithfulness, which was manifested to them in the fact that, again, he lifted them out of the lost condition they were in. They were unable to lift themselves out of that condition. They were dead in their trespasses and sins, just as we were. They were brought forth from death to life. They were given an understanding of the Lord's words. And other men said of Christ, Never a man spake as he spake. Yet, how little did the apostles know. Even though they were with the Lord, remember it was said of one of them, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? And this speaks of how little they really understood. And no teacher on this earth could or would have such patience with those they are teaching, yet our Lord's love remained unchanging towards them. Unchanging. Yet with love and patience he taught them. His love no end or measure knows. No change can turn its course. Eternally the same it flows. From one eternal source. It's unchanging. It's an unchanging love, beloved. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 18. Now, when we love a person, we expect them to have some sympathy in the plan and aim of our life, and we desire in what we desire to do. And yet our Lord loved his disciples who sometimes unknowingly tried to thwart him in his self-sacrificing mission, even in those times and those circumstances. This does not prevent him from loving them unto the end. Remember what happened when they came to arrest our Lord, and he knew that this was his hour coming. He knew that he must be crucified. He knew that. But Peter pulls out a sword, doesn't he? Cuts off the high priest's servant's ear. Look at this in John 18, verses 10 to 12. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 8 and think upon this. On certain times, the apostles were even guilty of disrespect to our Savior. Peter took him and began to rebuke him one time. Look at this in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. verses 31 to 38. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed after the 3 days, rise again. He must do this. This is the hour. He's teaching them that this has got to happen. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter takes the Lord aside and begins to rebuke him. When he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. And when he had called the people unto him, and with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, there's nothing we can give in exchange for our soul, is there? You can have all the riches in the world and it can't pay for your soul. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words and in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So think upon this, beloved. Even at this time, and after the Lord rebuked Peter in a temptation which was evidently satanic, the Lord's love and affection towards Peter remained unchanged. Isn't that amazing? Somebody does something to us, we get all offended. Look what the Lord just, he rebuked him and it was over. And his love for him is unchanging. It doesn't change. It doesn't change, beloved. Remember, he's loved us from eternity. He's loved us with an everlasting love. Think upon this love Christ has for his own. It's unchanging. It's unchanging. The scriptures proclaim, and think of this. Think of this love. It's unchanging. And the scriptures proclaim that at a later point, they'd all leave him. They'd all leave him. Listen to what the scriptures proclaim. All the disciples forsook him and fled. And yet he still loves them. Anybody ever forsook you? It's hard to love them when they do that. We're called to love them, though, aren't we? We are. Family may forsake us because of our belief in the gospel. Friends may forsake us for the stands that we take for the gospel. Love them. Love them. Show them the love of Christ. Show them the love of Christ. Look what our master did. They all fled. They all forsook him. But our text says, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Unchanging. Unchanging love, beloved. So consider this text in light of that. They all left. They all fled. Heaven loved his own, which were in the world. He loved them unto the end. Consider ourselves and our own sinfulness, beloved. Consider the wicked things we do, because we all do them. His love for us remains unchanged. It's amazing. Brother Noel, you and I talked about how we were before the Lord saved us. He loved us even then. Even then, he loved us. My. Time and time and time again, the Lord proved his love to his apostles. And time and time and time again, he's proved his love to us, hasn't he? He proved these words, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He proved these words here before us by his continual companionship with them, despite what we've seen occurring tonight in the scriptures. And there's many, many places where you just shake your head sometimes, but we shake our heads knowing we've done the same thing. And you'd expect a master to find joy and rest in the companionship of a society of his scholars, wouldn't you? In wise men. And yet, here is love manifest in the fact that Jesus passed by angels and kings and wise men and chose for his companions unlettered men, the scriptures say. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And the truth of these words, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end, are manifested as the Lord was always ready to instruct the apostles. And his love is shown as clearly in what he kept back from them as what he revealed to them. His love is shown in both those things. And these words were manifest in the fact that he was there rendering every kind of assistance when they needed, whenever they were in trouble. When the sea was roaring and tossed the boat that they were in around like a toy, remember? He calmed the sea. When Peter's wife's mother was sick, turn there if you would, Matthew 8:14. When Peter's wife's mother was sick, what did he do? He healed her. Look at this in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. Jesus was coming to Peter's house and he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Verse 15. And he touched her. Oh, a touch from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he touched her, and what happened? And the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. These words were manifested in the things that he did for his people. Having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now I'd like us to consider these words in relation to the blood-washed saints of God. In relation to the blood-washed saints of God. Now a man may part with his own things. He may sell his house. He may sell the things that he owns. But those who are his family, there's no change in that, is there? There's no change in that. And now for the blood-washed saints of God, the family of God can and usually is closer to them than our own blood family. Why? Because we have the same Father. We have the same Spirit. We're born again by the same Spirit, and we have the same Savior. And here in our text, it proclaims, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Think upon this. The Lord came to the Jews, and they despised and rejected him. And this is so with all men by nature, isn't it? In our natural state, we despise and we reject Christ. But those spoken of here as his own, here are those who love him and cherish him and follow him. Now, by nature, they despised him. But they're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and for them, for his own. What wondrous words these are. What wondrous words these are. Consider this, his own. And you who are his blood-washed people, consider that you're in that number. His own. It's amazing. His own. This is wondrous words. What a blessed expression. His own. And Scripture says to the blood-washed believer, you are not your own. You're bought with a price. We are not our own because we belong to Christ, beloved. His own. We're not our own. We're His. What joy is found in these two words? What delight for the blood-washed saint is found here in these two words? His own. Christ. God incarnated in the flesh. We're His. We're His own. The Holy Spirit is here bringing forth that we are the Lord's. And this love He has for us is a great love, an unchanging love. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ in a threefold way. Think upon this, beloved. We belong to the Lord first by the Father's eternal election. We are the Father's love gift to the Son, beloved. Chosen in Christ, when? Before the foundation of the world. His own. Second, we're His own by redemptive rights. By redemptive rights. He paid the purchase price for us. We're bought with a price. And that price is the shedding of His precious blood. Christ bought us for Himself. We're His own. Christ, who is God incarnated in the flesh, loved the church and what? Gave Himself for it. And third, we're His by effectual call of the Holy Spirit of God. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. We're born again, regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. The third person of the Holy Trinity. Beloved, we are born of the Spirit. And Christ has loved His people in the past. He's loved His people from of old, eternally. And this is a special, everlasting love. And He loves His own. And if you're a born-again believer, you're that number. His own. And this love surpasses any earthly love. Think of how much we love our kids and how much we love our families and even friends that we have that are dear to us. This love surpasses any earthly love, beloved. Our love is fickle, and it can change, but this love does not change. It does not change due to circumstances. And think of all the ages, beloved, that have rolled by on this earth, that have passed, and this love which God has for His people has never changed. Never changed. And think of all eternity, and this love will never change. This love of God towards His chosen, blood-bought people is settled and it is sure, beloved, because it's in Christ and Christ alone. And think of how this love has been proved by the fact that Christ stood surety for us when the covenant was made and that He fulfilled all the stipulations of it, of the covenant, on our behalf, and that He would fulfill the broken law for us, and that He would satisfy the justice of God in our place for us. And He did this for us because we're His own. And He's loved us with an everlasting, unchanging love. And that in the fullness of time, think upon this, that in the fullness of time, the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, took upon Himself our nature and lived a blameless life before the law of God and died a death unto which all the weight of divine vengeance for the sin of all His people fell upon Him. And He, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, the sinless one, died in our room and place. For we who are sinners, the just one dies for the unjust, having loved his own. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Do you see how this love does not even compare to any earthly love? It's so far above it, beloved. It's so far above it. And now our dear Lord is risen and exalted in the highest heaven. And he is for those who are called his own. Here in our text, he is our mediator between God and us. And he intercedes for his people. He represents them at the Father's throne. And he is preparing a place for us in glory. And he, by his Holy Spirit, is fetching his people out from mankind. And one day, he'll bring us all to glory, beloved. Everyone will be in glory. Remember, right now, he's taking saints home and he's drawing lost sheep to him. But one day, it'll be all over, and we'll be all in glory together. And you know what? Not one of those in our text who are called his own will be lost. Not one. Not one. Not one. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And note, this love is unending. He loved them unto the end. We are great sinners, beloved, but our Lord is a great Savior. And as Spurgeon brings forth, our sinfulness cannot travel so far where his love will not travel beyond. That's good news for sinners. And we cry out with the hymn writer, oh, what wondrous love is this? Oh, my soul, oh, my soul. This is wondrous love. And his faithfulness, beloved, shall be wider and broader than our unfaithfulness. He is all we need. He's able to save to the uttermost all those that come unto God by him. And he ever lives to make intercession for them. He loved them unto the end. Truly, the Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd of the sheep of God. He loves his people to an infinite degree. And he was about to demonstrate that by dying on the cross for them as their substitute. He who the Passover pictured is about to demonstrate that love that he has for his people. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Behold the Lamb of God. And let's close with reading this verse again. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, the first part of this verse brings forth two things about the Lord Jesus at this time. The cross was before him with all its agony, but also the joy of returning to his Father with all its bliss. Look at this. When Jesus knew that his hour was come, that's the cross, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, there's the bliss. And ponder this prospect, the prospect of the woe of the cross to the hope of unspeakable rest and glory with the Father. And it never shook his love for his own. He loved them unto the end. Truly our Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, his love never varies. It's unchangeable towards his people. He is eternal, therefore the love which he has for his own is eternal. He has loved us with an everlasting love. He is divine, therefore his love towards his people is divine. It's different from all other love. And you know what? It passes human understanding. It passes human knowledge. Praise his mighty name, beloved. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And again, that speaks of eternity. His love for us never changes.